From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Melissa Block.
And I'm Michelle Norris. And if you happen to be sitting in traffic, imagine this: traveling almost 3,000 miles from New York to Los Angeles by car in less than 32 hours. Sounds like the stuff of fiction, and indeed it was, in the 1981 movie Cannonball Run. In the film, a wild crew of drivers and passengers compete in a cross-country race. The competitors, played by actors including Burt Reynolds, Farrah Fawcett, and Dom DeLuise, dodge police and each other in the screwball on-screen race. But Cannonball Run was based on real events in the outlaw racing world, where renegade drivers obsessively compete in covert races, always trying to best an old record. Since 1983, the fastest time clocked for a New York to L.A. run was 32 hours and 7 minutes. Alex Roy claims he beat that old record. With just 6 stops, he traveled 2,785 miles and set a new time. Roy is a writer and champion race car driver. His new book is called The Driver: My Dangerous Pursuit of Speed and Truth in the Outlaw Racing World. And he says it all started with a documentary he was making on the history of car racing.
Virtually everyone who had ever done it in the 70s and through 1983, which was the last cross-country race, the U.S. Express, said that it could never be done again, either because the police were out in force with new technology or because it was too dangerous. Someone would be injured or killed. And so in the course of making this documentary, we thought it might be helpful to drive across at a reasonable pace, which we deemed to be about 36, 37 hours. And by accident.
That's reasonable?
That is at about the speed limit without stopping to sleep.
So to do something like this, once you decided to actually go for it, to go for the record, it takes tremendous preparation and some might even say a few loose screws. But in the book, you detail all of this in a lot of shorthand. And I understand by reading this that you live and die by the spreadsheet.
Yeah, it's funny because I'm not very good at math. we sat there and studied the drivers from the 70s and 80s, and the very fastest drivers were all quantitative drivers who studied, you know, fuel economy and navigation, and basically laid it all out with a very specific plan, almost a business plan, and we did it the same way. Of course, we had certain advantages. You know, Google Earth allowed us to literally walk the entire route cross country.
So you're driving at what speed?
You know, generally, you know, driving on cruise control in the low to mid 90s. At night, or in the desert, or in the open plains of Oklahoma, you know, we would go as fast as we could.
Now you pay tremendous attention to little teeny tiny details in preparing for this. Fuel transfer time at various gas stations. You basically timed how long it took to pump gasoline.
Correct. And, you know, different stations use different pump types. And if you go to a local station that doesn't take credit cards and they have 20-year-old pumps, they're probably not going to be a good place to stop an illegal race car going cross country.
So you kept fuel breaks to a minimum. I guess you probably kept bathroom breaks to a minimum as well.
We did test several solutions, including, well, we didn't physically test the diapers used by astronaut Nowak, but we did try the Japanese crystal bag solution and other options. But the truth is, it is unsafe for a driver in a car moving at any speed to attempt to use one of these bags.
And those emergency urination bags.
Yes, there's no way. It's all terrible stuff. So we opted to eat and drink less.
With all of that preparation, even with all that detail, there are lots of things that you couldn't control. You couldn't control the weather. You couldn't control the cops. You couldn't control animals that might jump out in the road in the middle of the night. And you did, in fact, encounter some surprises.
Well, the animals were something we'd been warned of by many of the veteran drivers. But we had installed a thermal night vision camera on the front bumper, which gave us extraordinary visibility forward. So we could see potholes and road imperfections and animals very far out. And only once did we ever almost hit an animal, which was a small rabbit. But that was scary looking, but nowhere near as scary as weather, you know, because you cannot go 125 miles an hour through a rainstorm. You know, we know that we had to slow down to, say, 80 in the rain. And when you do that, time is like a rubber band. So when your average speed falls below 90, say to 80 for half an hour, that time must be made up.
I'm just curious. You had all kinds of special equipment on the car, the gyro stabilizer, these night system goggles and fuel cells and all these things. How much did all this cost?
If you went on eBay, as I did, to purchase the equipment, you might spend between, you know, $7,000 and $10,000. But the most important thing, the CB radio is $65. A CB radio, if everybody took out their car radio and put in a CB radio, I bet you the accidents in this country will be cut in half.
Alex, you drove a BMW M5. Why that car?
When you drive a long distance, a Porsche or a Ferrari is completely the wrong car. And I also couldn't afford one. So I ended up buying this used BMW, which was pretty much as fast as those cars, but was four doors, so safer, more space to carry things and spare parts. And again, it was the only one I could afford.
Okay, you say that you did this. You beat the record, 32 hours, 7 minutes. How did you prove it in the end? And even with that proof, why should we believe you?
In the past, they had a time clock at both ends, which was flown, and numerous witnesses. We chose to take the old validation model. And so we invited several of the drivers and winners of the old races, the Cannonball and Express, to witness our departure and arrival. And then we contacted every major news organization we could and asked them if they would sign a 12-month non-disclosure. And they all declined except for Wired magazine and a few car sites and obviously the fuel receipts. And the track recordings taken by our Garmin GPS units were then exported into Google Earth. And, of course, I think some 25 or 30 witnesses, of which half were third-party uninterested people.
Final time?
31 hours, 4 minutes.
Alex Roy, thanks so much for talking to us. Please drive safely.
Thank you so much.
That was Alexander Roy. He's author of The Driver, My Dangerous Pursuit of Speed and Truth in the Outlaw Racing World. Now, it's not that we don't trust Alex Roy, but we did want to check out his story. So we called some of the journalists who knew about this journey. Gary Jarlson is one of them. He chronicled the 1983 U.S. Express race for the L.A. Times. And Jarlson was in Santa Monica when Alexander Roy finished his record-breaking trip.
They came down the, there's a sort of an incline that as you come down onto the Santa Monica Pier, and we were gathered on a parking area for the pier itself. It's part of the pier, and it's off to the side. And they came down to the bottom of the hill, the entrance to the pier, made a left turn and pulled up to where we were. And they just came to a nice, quiet stop, stepped out of the car. And the clock was right there, and they punched the card in.
That's writer and expert witness Gary Jarlson in California. You can read an excerpt from The Driver at npr.org.
You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.